The BB18 closeout special on Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.com, where you don't need to come in first place to cash in like Nicole. The player who finished 800th in the week one big fantasy football contest, they still took home $100. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. That's why DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Just play whenever you want with the players you want, pick out your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. You can even get live feeds of everything going on in the NFL and watch your DraftKings team. Renew old rivalries with friends, family, and coworkers to find out who the superior GM is. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings has something for everyone, so don't wait. Get to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Enter the promo code Rob to play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code Rob to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's a guy who is not in sequester for BBOTT. I'm Rob Cestrino, and here we are. It's our BB18 closeout special as we close the book on Big Brother 18. We have a number of questions emailed into us from the listeners of Rob's Podcast. Plus, we're going to take your questions on Twitter as well as we bid adieu to the season that was Big Brother 18. To join us one last time for BB18 coverage, of course, let's start with a man who is, he's so pumped up for BBOTT, Taron Armstrong. Taron, how are you? Excited I'm to great. Flex your muscle and your power as a voter on the BBOTT?
I love fan votes. I love audience control. This is just my wheelhouse here. I'm loving it.
Yes. Okay. And the man who is... young reliable Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Medium reliable. I'm doing all right.
Yes.
You know, yeah, fun fact, I was actually in sequester for this season, but then I heard about the format change and I broke out and I came back to podcast
some
more.
Down on it. You're poo-pooing everything before it even starts.
Alex took my joke. I was in the hotel room. I was going to make that joke.
Yeah.
It's what I do also. That's also my thing.
You know, with this, again, there's a lot we don't know about the BBOTT. Of course, is going to premiere on Wednesday night, and we'll have a lot of coverage coming up and hopefully a cast preview if they give us one or if they just start the show. But I believe we're going to have a preview before we get to BBOTT coming up next week. Alex, if there's a fan vote, Nicole versus Paul, is there enough Paul support that he wins, or do you think that the Nicole fans put her over the edge?
That's a good question. I think Paul probably wins, and I think, you know, Russell Hantz is somewhere saying, this is how it should have always been.
Yeah. I feel like...
I saw Russell was pissed. Russell didn't like the result.
Yeah. I wonder...
I didn't know he cared.
Yeah. Never cared. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. So, but this is not the BBOTT preview just yet. This is our BB18 closeout special. I got to see the show listen to the show that you guys did with Jordan Parhar on Wednesday night. Fantastic job by Jordan and the LFC on that show. I was, of course, at the Big Brother 18 finale, which I'm happy to talk about as you guys are interested to hear about here on the podcast. But we're going to be taking your questions, talking about everything from what happened on the screen to where we go from here to future Big Brother seasons and everything BB18 related. But it really was very fun. I got to go down to the CBS lot and go in there, and I was not in the audience for the show. I was in a separate green room with all the people from the press, and we were just watching the show on TVs, and then they escorted us into the backyard to do our setup, which was really a very strange trip for me in just terms of like just trying to have like a million things to do in terms of getting set up with the camera and all the equipment, but then also like, wow, this is really surreal of that. This is really weird to be here in the Big Brother backyard, where we ended up doing all of our interviews. And then we found out we were going to talk with Julie Chen as well. She's very excited about the BBOTT. She says that she is not worried about wearing out. The Chenbot's batteries do not need charging. So she's ready to go. And if you haven't checked out any of our interviews from the BB18 backyard, They're up on our YouTube channel and also in the podcast version. All right. So let's just start off with reactions a couple days after the fact. The dust has settled a little bit. Alex, how are you feeling about BB-18 as we get a little further away?
Never cared.
Never cared? That's not
no,
true.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's not cared. It's not true. I think it's, it was a mixed bag. There was highs, there was lows, there was laughs, there was cries.
Yeah.
And it's been a long summer. That's really all I've got to say.
Was 99 too long for the LFC?
I don't know if it's too long for me, but it does seem like it's a little long for the game. Like, they just do run out of content. And, you know, I can keep podcasting about nothing forever. You know, you could listen to me read a phone book if you want me to, but, you know, it just makes it harder for me to bring good content when they're not giving me much to work with, yeah. Right?
Darren, let's start to try to put Nicole's win into perspective as we've gotten a little bit further away from it. I think that I was mostly indifferent to Nicole as the winner coming out of Wednesday night. Have you had any other feelings about Nicole as a winner as we've gotten now 2 days away from her win?
I don't know about new feelings necessarily. I do think that hearing some of the stuff that Nicole is saying about how she would have taken Paul to the end if she had won the HOH and some other stuff like that, it's clarifying that she was maybe not quite as on top of all of her game. Maybe not all of it was super intentional, so maybe she's getting a little bit docked for that. But overall, it's still the same good game, I think, and I'm really happy with her as a winner.
Yeah. Let's start off with a question. Of course, we got a number of questions emailed into our bigbrother@robisawebsite.com email address. We'll be keeping that email address open all the way through BBOTT if you want to send us messages as we go along. But this is from our good buddy Matt Holtzclaw, who writes in to say, is Nicole going to go down as an underrated winner? Perhaps even the most underrated winner. Her gameplay was subtle enough that it seems an overwhelming majority of the fan base considered it non-existent. As a side note, did this jury vote work up the fan base even more than BB14's? All right. So, Taryn, let's at least try to paint the picture. Nicole, the underrated winner of Big Brother, buying or selling that?
Definitely buying. I had a conversation with Andy on Twitter about how similar these two wins are. And I do think that Andy is still probably the most underrated winner, even though we give him a lot of respect. I think it's
Snake
still a large...
floater, Nicole?
Exactly. Snake floater, Nicole. It's the snakes and the rats. It's really, it's eerily similar.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's very interesting. You know, the thing that really stood out in my mind as I was trying to think about this, you know, Nicole had talked about her big move, which she made in the game, which was that she, at the final seven, she was able to spin it as going from 5-2 to getting Natalie to put up two people that she wanted to see go up on the block. But also, let's not forget about how at the final six, we all talked about that week. What a great move Nicole is making here, where we're coming away from this Nicole HOH, where she's ending up with taking Big Meech out of the game. No, actually, what did she ultimately do? Is she put up James and Natalie on the block?
She put up Michelle and Paul, in the final
That's
seven.
Right. I'm sorry.
To take out Meech to make it three pairs in the end at final six. And she was positioned in the middle of those two pairs.
Right. In the second final seven, because we had back to back final seven.
Yes.
So again, Nicole was the second final seven HOH. But we walked away from like, wow, Nicole has really set herself up really fantastically coming out of that week. So Alex, are you on board with the Nicole, the underrated winner, or do you think that she's being properly rated by this fan base?
No, absolutely. She's an underrated winner because so many people just are coming out saying she didn't do anything. So if you think she did nothing, then of course she's underrated because she absolutely did things that got her to where she got and got her the win. I mean, it's almost indisputable in my mind.
Okay, because I'm getting emails like this one from CJ, CG. Who says, in my opinion, Nicole is the least impressive winner in the history of North American Big Brother, which is including Canada winners, and a very fluky win with a lot of luck. Only Sarah from Big Brother Canada 3 was even more fluky with her win in all the North American seasons, and only a Paul Part 3 HOH win with him taking her to the final two could have given this result, especially Nicole winning in a final five featuring four guys is majorly unlikely based on the history of guys beating girls in final two, and really surprised that Natalie voted against that way that James, Meech, Vic, and Bridget all voted and that Davon voted for Paulie. So it sounds like CG is saying that there is a lot of luck in this, but I feel like that isn't this a testament to Nicole's win?
Well, I mean, I could go through every single one of those, almost every single one of those points and point out why it wasn't luck. I don't know if that makes for great podcasting, but definitely it was. I mean, if anything, Paul was infinitely luckier because he had Victor come in twice. In a lot of those scenarios, like obviously Nicole wins against James, or that's what it appears to be given the exit interviews. So if she had won, she still would have won the game, even if she had taken Paul or James. Lots of things. And it, going back, you know, a lot of people said that she was doing nothing in the first month or two of the game. And that's not true either. You know, like think about where Nicole was positioned. She initially had the 8-pack. She had the Fatal 5 within the 8-pack. She then was in the Fatal 4 and then transitioned to the Showmance Alliance while still having multiple Final 2s with Frank, Devon, and some other people. There was a lot going on in that early portion of the game that she was actually working, even though a lot of people seem to forget that.
Okay. This is a question from Ariel, who writes in to say, how will Nicole winning change Big Brother moving forward? Will we see more people getting into showmances / doing nothing for 10 weeks, but sleeping in bed with a guy, Taryn?
This is what we deal with, right? Like, I just explained exactly what she was doing other than sleeping with the dude. But people get the story in their head and they remember the story. They don't remember the facts. And I mean, obviously she was doing more. And, you know, maybe we'll see people come on the show and think, have this misconception that this is what she did. And they're going to try and emulate that. And they'll probably fail pretty dramatically. But overall, I don't think it's necessarily going to change much. I mean, nobody's going to look at Nicole and be like, I want to emulate that. Right?
Like, you know, Alex, I feel like that I'm so much in a bubble with doing the podcast in terms of, you know, that I'm pretty much just talking to the listeners of this podcast in terms of what they think. Do we have any sense of what the overall like casual audience has thought about this win? Were they happy for Nicole? Because she did win a care package. She has an audience, I think, and a fan base coming from BB16. Was the average TV viewer happy, or were they actually on board with Paul?
It was an interesting season, Rob, because I don't know if, you know, I definitely do, you know, go to sites and join groups and stuff so I can get that casual perspective, because I feel like I need it to understand the opinion that isn't mine, I guess. But
become one of them.
Yeah, well, no, my take is usually not most people's take. I've come to learn that. So, but I, you know, this is an interesting season because you had James, who was beloved coming off of 17, Nicole, who was beloved coming off of 16, both of them like gradually doing things this season that kind of dropped their stock. And then you had Paul, who a lot of people really loved, but I have noticed that casuals liked him less because, I mean, there is a large percentage of like the casual CBS viewing audience that's older, and Paul is loud and abrasive. And I think like my grandparents would be like, what's that guy yelling about? Like, this isn't JAG. You know what I mean? Like, they'd just be upset. They wouldn't appreciate Paul at all.
They just left CBS on from the night before.
Yeah. If it's not NCIS, you know, they don't know what this guy's talking about. So
yeah. NCISOTT. Yeah. CBS loves initial. They love initial.
I think NCIS comes with OTT already attached, already packaged in.
Okay. The, Ninsat. All right. So this is a question in terms of the response of the alumni base. This is from Ryan, who writes and say, the general disconnect between the pro Nicole BB alum response on Twitter and the pro Paul fan response got me to thinking about the returnee versus newbie dynamics. Now, first off, is this a false premise, Taryn? Have you seen that most of the Big Brother alumni have come out and sort of painted themselves as pro Nicole?
I wouldn't say most. I think it's been somewhat divided. I saw an argument between Matt Hoffman and Andy about Nicole's game. I think that for the most part, it is a little bit back and forth. There are two sides here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think even most of the people who are defending Nicole, a lot of them still wanted to see Paul win. They're just former house guests. And as former house guests, they're like, all right, people, let's not send Nicole death threats. Like, that could be me, and probably was. So that hits close to home.
Yeah. And so Ryan is saying that, is the result of this season more evidence that Big Brother and Survivor needs to consider the inherent fairness of returnee versus newbie seasons? Two of the final three were returnees, despite only four returnees coming to the game. We've had two previous BB seasons with both player types where the returnees made the finals and really took control of the strategic aspects of the game. It's even more prevalent on Survivor. As we said in an earlier podcast, there's never been a season of BB or Survivor where two or more returnees came back and they didn't make the finals. Is this an inherent problem with this format, Taryn?
Yeah, and I think we knew that before coming into the season. And I think we were all upset at the fact that it was a mixed season, and we'd prefer to not see this. If there are returnees, which we love returnees, I think, as a whole, we'd like to see them in an all-star season. I think that's where they work the best. If you mix them together, the returnees have an advantage. And, I mean, that's just, they've played before. You can't avoid that.
Yeah.
And if you go back to May and listen to some preseason podcasts, you can hear Taryn and I call our shot on exactly this.
Yeah. I don't think we made them in May. Season didn't start till like
I'll
June
22nd.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Come on now. All right. Well, then Lawson leads us into our next question. Lawson writes in to say, with Nicole making the finals of BB18, every season of Survivor Big Brother featuring returning players has had a returning in the finals. Do you think that there's something to this? And also, can we pencil in Jason or Jose into the final two of BBOTT?
Well, given the new rule set, I would say, unfortunately, we can't pencil that in for Jason. If there's a lot of viewer voting, I think that Jason will do well, but who knows who these other castmates are. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah. I'm interested just to get, I know we're going to talk about BB18, but I'm interested just to get you guys to handicap this race. From what I heard the other night, it sounded like I think that you guys are all confident that Jason is going to be the person that gets in the house over Jose.
I think so. I think that because you have to be subscribed to CBS All Access in order to vote, it's going to be the people who definitely remember Jason from Big Brother 17. They're going to relate to him because he's also a feeder, and I feel like he's going to have the vote for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I was talking to Audrey about this, and she felt like this was a Big Brother Canada situation where Jose is the patsy. Like, this is a layup for Jason.
See, and I kind of looked at it the other way when I first announced this, of like, oh, that Jason was the person that they just got to say yes, and that it was going to be a slam dunk to get the Messiah to, this is the prophecy that he's going to come back into the house.
Well, I'll tell you this. If he can't win this vote, say goodbye to the Grammys, man. That's tough. Hosting the Grammys. If he can't get in the OTT house.
Yeah,
I do think if it was the casual audience voting, he would have a much better shot.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting that you feel like that because you think that there is too much of the voter regulation, Alex, that we've made it. We put up so many blockades to get people to vote.
Discrimination.
Yes. This is discriminatory to the casual fan.
Well, I mean, you have to be subscribed to the All Access to vote on this thing. And everybody who paid any attention last summer knows that Jason is one of us, right? One of us.
Yes.
Like, he is the guy who's in his basement watching feeds, just like some people. So, that speaks to a lot of people. Jose's not that guy. Like, Jose's a good looking guy who walks around in his underwear and does crazy stuff in real life, but he's not a Big Brother fan.
Yeah. Do we have evidence that being a feed watcher necessarily translates to being a good player, Taryn?
I don't think it necessarily does.
Does being
I don't
a super
think we have
fan help you?
Like, being I'm literally fan. The worst super fan in history.
Being a super fan clearly does not necessarily help you, even if you are the worst super fan or the best super fan.
Best super fan, yeah. All right,
I don't think
help.
It hurts.
It can help.
Yeah, I think like anyone is better having studied than they would having studied past season than they would be
you
otherwise.
You just gotta remember when you get in the house that you're not still watching the feeds. You have to actually do stuff when you get there.
But like really Netta important. Could not watch all the seasons she's watched, then she'd still probably have more natural ability than maybe Michelle.
Right. All right. To get back to the Paul and Nicole saga, Amy writes in to say, I'm starting to get pretty confused. I'm not a live feed watcher, but I don't get why everyone loves Paul so much and dislikes Nicole so much. Sure, he played well, but so has she. And I don't think it was a bitter jury besides Michelle not voting for Nicole. She legitimately played well. What gives? One specific question. Should Nicole get any credit for Paul taking her to the end? All I kept hearing about his mistake, but what was she saying to him that helped him make that decision? Is this a question, Taryn? Because we deal so much with people who watch the feeds, and Paul did so much on the feeds that he like was legitimately concerned about being entertaining on the feeds. I think that we can say that with complete certainty, where Nicole could not give a rat's ass if you were entertained while you were watching the Big Brother live feeds, while Paul actually did care about that. Is that the difference here between a feed watcher and somebody who watched the show?
I definitely think it's a difference. I think that you know, there's also the fact that Paul is, you know, I think that feed watchers, they crave the entertainment a little bit more than the casual audience does, to be honest. I think that when you're watching the feeds, there's so much that's boring for so long. And anybody that excites you is going to be good. And Paul's game was exciting. It was risky. It was dangerous. It was full of adversity. And whether or not he inflicted that adversity on himself didn't really matter. It was still entertaining. And Nicole, on the other hand, was very boring for most of the season, right? Like the comparison to Andy, I think, is again apt, where, you know, didn't really look like she was doing a whole lot, even though she sometimes was. And she just wasn't fun to watch. And I mean, the showman's thing just really rubbed people the wrong way. Yeah. So, and I don't think the casual audience saw a lot of the stuff that rubbed the feeders the wrong way with Nicole.
But it's true. Like, the number one thing that doesn't translate, both for players, I mean, we've heard players talk about this coming out of the game, and for fans, from feeds to just the show, is the boredom, the downtime, just the unbelievable amount of like nothing to do.
For the feed watchers or for the people in the house?
Both, because we've seen players like I think, like there's been lots of players who, you know, come in as a fan. Like, I remember Helen was a big fan, but had never watched feeds, and coming out, you know, in her exit interview, she said, I underestimated the amount of downtime, the amount of time with nothing going on. And I think that's true with a lot of people who haven't watched feeds as fans as well, because, you know, if you're just watching the show, Nicole is relatively entertaining. She's, you know, she's going in the diary rooms and she's got her accent and you know, quirky. And
I spilled the nail polish.
But if you're watching feeds every day, you're like, well, Nicole is just in bed. So am I. Like, she's just sleeping. She's like, and Paul is actively like trying to, you know, do things and play the game. Like, I understand how people
get. So you're saying
that
people who watch the feeds prefer somebody who's creating a lot of interesting situations, a lot of drama, making big moves, being a very risky player over somebody that just hangs out and stays in bed?
Well, put it this way, Rob. When you go to the zoo, what do you like to do? Do you like the monkeys that are like doing flips and like climbing around on the vines, or the one that's like sleeping in the corner? Like, that's the one that people are poking at, like, get up, and like knocking on the glass. Like, well, I want to do anything.
Yeah.
It's the same principle here.
Well,
yeah. And I think the feeders, they want to see big moves made so much that they will even cheer on somebody who's making a crazy flip of the house that's like totally against their own interests.
Right.
They're like, yes, do it.
And that's why I can't wrap my head around why you guys are saying that the people who want to watch these live feeds are not going to vote for Jose. But I mean, isn't that the messiah? I mean, with all due respect to Jason, who I think is a great guy. He's been on the show. He's a great conversationalist about the game. He didn't really make any crazy moves when he was in the house. He was fun to listen to talk on the live feeds about different Big Brother things. But Jose is the one that's going to create the fireworks. Like, I'd pay money to watch Jose on Big Brother.
Well, it's true, but I do think there's a factor. I think the one of our own factor can't be ignored. Like, feeders really do have there's something about that. Like, someone who says they're a fan, that's one thing. But someone who's watched the live feeds gets this game on another level. And people who watch the live feeds inherently know that, I think.
And I think that a large part of it is that people often don't know what they want. Especially like preseason, people are always rooting for the people that they usually end up hating, right? Like, you never know what you want going into this season. You think you want a Jason, but then, you know, he gets into the house and maybe you feel like, oh man, we should have voted in Jose. I don't necessarily think people are going to think that, but there's also the fact that, you know, Jose was in the house, but then he was out after the first week. And,
he'll
people
be out
are
again
remember
after
that.
The first week. But from now until Columbus Day, won't we have really exciting live feeds to watch, Taryn?
Well, Tara makes a good point. It's like, when he was evicted, wasn't he at the bottom of the power rankings? It was just the absence that made the heart grow fonder in that respect.
No, the messiah. Well, it'll be such an interesting story because he's the messiah of the newbies, yet he's a returning player. How's he going to reconcile with that? Think about it.
They're going to send him right out. They're going to take care of him.
No. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Paul. Katie King writes in to ask us the question. So one thing I felt was overlooked during the recap with Jordan was another flaw in Paul's game was answering his questions during the jury. I think Davon even said with Dr. Will, there's the player Paul and there's the personal Paul. So depending on how people voted personal or game really affected their votes. Personally, I was on the fence leaning towards Paul as he hopes to win. But then his answers were so arrogant and unapologetic to Natalie and the others with his words. Being an all-male panel, it may not have read that way with the LFC, but I think it factored into the votes more than the boys pointed out in the recap. I asked Natalie when I was in the backyard about, did your vote against Paul have anything to do with the comments that he said in the House? And I felt like that she said that, yes, that was a big factor of why she did vote for Paul in the end. More so than, well, I know we've talked so much about that Paul said the C word to Michelle. Michelle votes for Paul, but Natalie did not forget the FT saga.
Yeah, I do feel like we talked about that. Like, my entire theory was that it was the way that Paul treated her that week that she went out, you know, not to mention the fact that with the FT things, and I think even type things. And I'm pretty sure Brent talked about how it was dumb. I think he ranted all about how, you know, Paul should have apologized because it was really dumb of him not to and stuff like that. I mean, I think that Paul did a really bad job with the questions myself. I think that Nicole really outshined him in that sense. Granted, she didn't have the same level of questioning with the personal stuff, but he just didn't handle it right. He didn't know how to play to the people asking him the questions, unfortunately.
Yeah, the way you need to handle that with Natalie is you need to go like full Todd Herzog, Survivor China, and just say, like, just fall on your sword and just apologize and say, yeah, like, I was totally wrong. You know, you were totally, like, I was scared. You were a better player than me. You had me on the ropes. I was in a really tough position and I panicked. Just say whatever you have to say to just, like, build up that girl's ego in that moment. That's what you have to do there.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, I had so much respect for you. There's such friendship, and I knew you'd win. You would beat me, and I'd be pissed. So, yeah, that would be...
And instead the Jets are the greatest football team ever. And
yeah, I did love his speech. I loved his energy, but I did feel like there was a lot more, like, you know, I stayed true to myself. I feel like the jury doesn't care so much about I stayed true to myself.
Especially...
line, just having fun.
Just having fun. I'm crazy. Friendship. Well, yeah,
like if staying true to himself means that he's saying all those things toward Natalie, like that's not the self that she wants to know that he's staying true to.
Like, oh, I guess so. If you were just if that was just being yourself, then OK.
Yeah.
All right, say whatever.
Stay true to second place then, dude.
OK, this is from Synathic, who writes in to say, I wanted to ask a question about Paul's move to take Nicole to the final two. I really do believe that this is worthy of at least an honorable mention when discussing the worst Big Brother moves of all time. It deserves more criticism than Cody's decision for two reasons. One, Cody and Derek were in an alliance from the beginning. They were close. If Paul had taken Victor to lose to him, then honestly, I wouldn't have been as enraged. And two, Cody, my brother Cody, didn't comprehend just what kind of a mastermind Derek was because they were working so closely together. Cody believed that he was part of the decision-making process, and he also had more comp wins. He might have genuinely thought he had it in the bag. Paul said in his diary room, Nicole worked her butt off to get here. He knew her gameplay was good, but it's almost like he wanted to prove that he was the best of the best by taking the better player. I'd love to hear your and the LFC's thoughts on this. Now, back in June, Taryn, it was the time when you argued that Cody did not make one of the worst moves of all time. Do you that the Paul move here, where does this rank for you?
It's bad, and to be clear,
oh!
bad move on Cody's part as well.
But
my reasoning was similar to the person that asked the question here, which is that, you know, Cody essentially decided that friendship was worth more to him
than
the money. And in that case, like, I'm not going to say that his value judgment is dumb necessarily. Whereas with Paul, I feel like, as the questioner mentioned, he felt like, I want to take Nicole because I feel she deserves it more. And so part of that was this kind of, you know, value judgment, which I wouldn't necessarily judge either. But part of it was also, I think I can beat both of them, which was obviously incorrect. And again, it's a pretty bad mistake, especially because he knows that he can beat James easier. And so to take Nicole over James in that scenario, when you're wrong about having the votes, that's pretty bad. But it is so difficult to anticipate what the jury's going to vote for. It's really hard to like really punish them for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like I can make the case either way and ultimately do choose to make the case that Cody's is a little worse, because I feel like the big X factor for me is you look at the other option. Can I beat James? Probably, but you don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Can I beat Victoria? Yes. Yeah. 1,000%. You are going to beat Victoria. You have to know that. So to me, that's the separating line.
Yeah. One of my favorite things from the interviews the other night was that I asked this question to Paulie about whether or not that he saw it similar.
as to when Cody brought Derek to the final two instead of Victoria. And he was not having that. He shut that down very quickly. He said he did not see.
We don't accept that narrative in our house.
Yeah. I do not see any similarity between those two things because Derek and Cody were ride or die the whole time. So he did not really, he didn't care for that line of questioning.
He gave you such a stare down. It was amazing. He just like, unblinking, just like, don't even test me, dude.
Yeah.
Right, asserting dominance.
Yeah, since we're on the subject of Paulie, let me read a question. This is from Dana Wise, who wants to know, Rob, why weren't you harder on Paulie during your live interview? It was reminiscent of watching Fallon interview Trump. An affable host pitches softball to an egomaniac, sexist businessman. Love the podcast, but wish you maybe would have gotten in a few digs on Paulie. Paulie really seemed very uninterested in even doing an interview with me in the first place. And he hadn't even heard a summer of podcasts yet. And I think, in my mind, I felt like he was trying to escape the backyard before that. And I don't think they were letting him leave. And then he was like one of the last ones that the order that they went up weren't necessarily the order that I talked to them. I think that before the final three, that was the last one that I did. I thought at one point I wasn't even going to get Paulie. I thought he was going to leave the backyard. He was not super interested in doing the press and definitely did not feel like in my mind that he was not really enjoying being interviewed by anybody there that night.
I get like people want you to, you know, maybe give him a harder time, but hey, I mean, the guy's a franchise and, you know, he could send his legal team after you, Robin. That's sure. Just an asshole you don't need.
Sure.
Yeah, he's a businessman.
He's a dangerous man to be messing with.
I didn't understand why he got so, he seemed aggravated in the interview when he said, and I'm going to take my business and I'm moving my business to, and I had asked him about, like, well, where are you moving the business to? And he seemed like to get very defensive with me. I said, are you moving it to go be like, I don't know where I'm moving it to. I said, oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I've got an offshore oil drill.
Yeah. I didn't know necessarily, you know, he seemed very annoyed about just generally being there answering questions. And I felt like that he did seem over the Big Brother experience. And, you know, it's hard to really go like Frost Nixon on these things, especially in person. And I don't have my notes in front of me. So it is a challenge to really grill people on these things.
Do we know what his businesses are?
No, I don't think we do. I thought, I mean,
Bully's reality?
Well, I don't know. No, that's not it. I mean, I thought he was is he a DJ or does he have like some sort of like party dancers that come out?
Yeah, I think it's like a DJ party thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's portable. You could take that anywhere. So I don't know necessarily, but he did seem generally annoyed, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't because he had heard any podcasts this summer.
Yeah. Are you Rob? Yeah, why didn't you tell me you were Rob?
So you're the Rob.
Yeah.
So I keep hearing about.
So I don't know. That's an interesting one. All right. So got some other questions about that. All right. Timo wants to know, why didn't Natalie get as much hate as Davon? Her decision reasoning was worse than Davon's, and Natalie only voted for Nicole, in her own words, because she was a girl and she was mad at Paul for personal stuff. Now, first off, has Davon been getting a lot of hate, Taryn?
Yeah.
Yes, because she was the deciding vote against Paul. That's why
in the show, she was the last vote read, which people obviously interpret to be the deciding vote. And I think this is just like a travesty, right? Because she explained her reasoning and it was very good reasoning. She really tried hard to figure out who played the better game. And I'm going to vote for that person. Even though I like Paul better, I want to vote for Nicole because I feel like she played a better game. And that is like just pristine jury member-ness, right? Like this is the best jury decision making I have seen in a long time. And she's getting a bunch of crap for it because she happened to be the last vote that was read and people expected her to vote the other way. And it's so infuriating because she should be praised for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to be mad about Davon's vote, really, don't be mad at Davon. Be mad at CBS for giving someone who hasn't been involved in the game for 6 weeks power over the winner, over deciding the winner. I mean, it's the format if you want to be mad at anything.
Yeah.
It's not Davon.
But, I mean, that's, what are they supposed to do? Like, you feel like it was a seven-person?
You don't need a nine-member jury, do you?
It's fine. I mean, I feel like that. I didn't even know there was a backlash against Davon.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too, is I think, you know, maybe that, and I agree that Natalie, you know, pretty much stated that her decisions were made personally. So I think it's a fair point. And I think a big part of it is that people probably just expect more from Davon because Davon has played before and Davon is supposed to like know better or something. But again, like Taryn said, her reasoning was sound and she approached it the way you would want her to approach it. She just didn't, end up at the result that you wanted her to end up at.
Yeah. And I think part of it is that is the fact that she voted for game instead of personal, because I think the fact that she voted for game kind of challenges people's beliefs that Paul played better. And so they're like, well, if you were voting for game, then you would have voted Paul. So you must be lying. Like what's going on here? There's more disconnect as far as like reasoning versus result than with Natalie, who is very easy to digest. Like, oh, Paul treated her poorly and she voted against Paul. She was bitter, but you know, I mean, I still think people are mad at Natalie as well, just not as visible as Davon.
Okay. Megan Z wants to ask, I'm sure someone brought this up, but do you think that CBS purposely chose Jason to do the Davon segment earlier this season to see how the audience would react to him as a possible returnee? Alex, do you think that that's a thing that they do?
You think they were all season, they were just testing the waters? Like, all right, what were the ratings on that Jason spot versus that Meg spot versus... Yeah, I don't know. I think Jason was on their short list. Jason, he fits all the criteria, right? He doesn't... we know that he watches live feeds, so he's got the time. And right. He's a big fan. And, you know, if you're starting a new project, yeah, you want a recognizable face. You want somebody who's going to be... bringing in potentially casual viewers who are like, well, I don't know about this new concept, but I recognize that player and I'd be interested in seeing him again.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard you guys talking about this on the show the other night, and you brought up that Dan had said in the podcast with me the other day that a couple people that he had been speaking to ended up saying no. And I really took that as, I wonder how many people they asked before they got to Jason and Jose. How many no's did they get before? I don't think at all that somebody sat there like with a whiteboard, like under like BBOTT and like, we got it. Jason versus Jose. That's the concept. Like, I think that we went through a lot of iterations of a lot of different Big Brother people before we got to Jose versus Jason.
We got to weed out the Stephen Daigles and the Keith Angels and all these people, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. What former Big Brother player is going to be willing to go back on a season like this with the format completely changed? Like, it's a different game. Mm-hmm. But obviously people like Jose, who just wants to be on TV, and people like Jason, who is also a fan of the UK version, they're going to be more willing to agree to this.
One no away from Glenn coming back.
Ah, right.
Glenn versus Jody. That's what I mean. I think I might be more pumped up for Glenn versus Jody to get back into the house.
Me too.
Way better.
That'd be crazy.
That would have been great. But again, I mean, you know, last night, you know, you did your interview with Julie and she was like, oh yeah, like the song, you know, it's like, it just goes to show, like, they need you doing their advertising. The fact that they don't have it going on yet speaks to
incompetence
on
their part. So you think they need me to tell them that you're down with OTT?
Honestly, the fact that hadn't registered by then, that tells me a lot.
In fairness, I'm not sure if Julie is sitting in on the marketing meetings for the Big Brother seasons and what they're gonna do.
Well, in my mind, she signs off on absolutely everything.
Yes. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my favorite part of the Glenn thing when he was like, oh, Julie's right there. Tell her, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go tell her.
She has my water bottle in the back. Get it for me.
Yeah. Glenn is the best. Glenn is the best. Hopefully we'll get to see Glenn when we get out to New York. And I haven't officially announced this yet, but we are going to be trying to do our very first Big Brother live show in New York this October. We're going to be in New York for the Know-It-Alls on October 26th. I'm trying to get together a venue to do a live BBOTT podcast the night before, also in New York City. So just be on the lookout for that if you'd like to come down, and hopefully we'll get some of the New York Big Brother alumni out there and maybe even some members of the LFC. And maybe if Jose is not in the house, maybe we could get him. Or if he's back home by then.
Yeah.
In and out of the house again.
Yeah. Yeah. Come meet us in New York, you scrubs.
Hey, look, maybe is it possible, Taryn, that one of the beauties of America deciding the winner is then once people are out of the house, I mean, I'm sure it's probably expensive to run the jury house. That's just a expense off the table of if there's no jury, then you don't have to have a separate house and pay all these people and production to keep up with the jury house. I bet that's a very underappreciated, underreported expense these Big Brother seasons.
Yeah, I'm sure. And so, yeah, we'll probably see some people who would have been jury members come right out. We'll get to talk to them. They'll get to campaign for whoever they want to win. So, yeah, that's definitely an added benefit to this wonderful America's Vote twist.
Alex,
Do they even pay for the jury houses, though? I always heard that it was just like celebrities who were on vacation.
Oh, you got a bunch of reality contestants? Sure. Yeah. Let them sleep in my house. Hey, we'll have sex everywhere.
Give them as much alcohol as they want. Hey, yeah. You live out there, Rob. You're some very carefree individual. Like a Cato Kalin type would be fine with that.
You think Cato Kalin owns a house?
Do whatever. Yeah. That's why I said a Cato Kalin type.
The craziest theory I've heard you say.
A Cato Kalin type lives in someone else's house. He's like a jury member. In fact, he sat in front of a jury for a long time. But no, I don't think that there's just like some famous person. Maybe there's some like very wealthy Big Brother fan that is like, I can have the Big Brother people in my house, but no, I think it's probably very expensive and you got to pay for them to eat everything and what they drink. And, I'm sure it's a nightmare, the whole jury house situation.
Steven Seagal comes out like, what is going on in my house?
My home is under siege by the jurors.
Heads are going to roll.
Eric Laval wants to know. No, that's that's an inappropriate question. He wants to know, where does Paulie rank in the pantheon of great Big Brother douchebags? We don't need to do that. That's not necessary.
Leave that in Uncle Austin's trailer.
Sorry, we'll leave that. It was a different question I wanted to ask of where does Paul rank in the all-time losing finalists, Alex? That was the question I wanted.
Yeah, I saw that question earlier and I was kind of hoping you'd skip it because I've never ranked these people. I don't know where to put them.
Would he be in the top 10? 18 Big Brother seasons, would he be in the top 10 of runners up?
Yeah, I got to think so because off the top of my head, I'm remembering like there's a Porsche out there. There's what's his name? That guy from season 9 who went to Ohio who's a real jerk, Ryan. Surely.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think most final two people are goats, and so you know, take them off the table immediately. Paul's not a goat, and he's probably already in the top 10. So
yeah.
Would he have been in the top 10 winners, Taryn?
No, I think I would have put him around 12. I think that's where I was looking at.
I feel like that's very low. I feel like that he really was that if. He had a very strong end run. He really made from the point Victor went out, Alex, I thought he really had an amazing run.
Of comp wins.
Comp wins? Well, that's good. Isn't that part of it?
There's an aspect of luck to it where like Nicole could have easily won any of those competitions and then he's gone, you know, as opposed to Nicole, who is never going to leave regardless of the comp outcomes.
Mm. Right. Like the comp wins factor is the same reason that you don't have Mike Holloway at the top of your Survivor winners rankings, right? It's like, that's not the most reliable way to get there.
Leave my Survivor winner rankings out of this. that's neither here nor there. Okay.
It's somewhere.
All right. Let's take a few more of these questions. Let's take one from Twitter. So I'll let you guys in on the action. Sean Murphy, who was the best interview / nicest person on the finale night? So I had so much fun getting to talk to everybody. And for the most part, I do really like this cast. I think that there was a lot of really fun people that were out there. I feel like that the underrated, probably most fun person to talk to for me, I think, was Bridget. She was so nice. She really was very, very sweet. She was happy. She didn't seem like she was all like, hey, is this over yet? Can I get out of here? Can I go somewhere else? So she was just really bubbly. And I feel even worse that they were mean to her in the house. So Bridget was so nice.
Yeah.
I thought James and Michelle both did really well as well.
Yeah, James, I felt bad that being as hard on James this season throughout the season. I felt really bad when James was like, vote for my friend Jason. He's such a good guy. Where Jason killed James at every turn all season long from the moment they announced that James was going to be on Big Brother. It's like, James, I don't even know who you are anymore. He was really, really, he just killed James the entire summer. Felt bad about that. I thought that also Michelle was very good. I think that Michelle is going to be a very fun podcast guest.
I agree. Yeah, and I think...
Not pathetic, Taryn.
Well, that was, you know, when you asked her who is your favorite live feed correspondent, I was terrified for a moment, like, please do not say me, because that would be the same thing as James saying vote for Jason. that would have been bad.
Yeah. Well, I was feeling sympathetic for James until he mentioned wanting to go on Survivor. And then I remembered why I'm not sympathetic for this guy. Like, no.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Victor seemed very nice also. Victor seemed like very, really happy. I was just surprised at how many of them, like I had asked them about, like, are you going to watch BBOTT? And they're like, what is that? They really seem to have literally no idea about it. And it seems crazy to me that Jose is going to be on it. You would think that that word would have spread a little bit, but no.
They just don't tell them anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even, or was it just the pre-jury didn't even get to watch the episode? Like Frank was complaining to Jeff, like, yeah, sorry, you can't ask me questions about what we just saw because we didn't see any of it.
I don't know.
We didn't even have a working toilet down there.
I had heard that that Jeff got Paulie pretty mad in his interviews. Is that accurate? Oh, you guys didn't see them.
I didn't get to Paulie's.
That's fine. That's fine. I read on either Reddit or on Twitter that he really pissed off Paulie. I wanted to check that out. Let's see. Andrew Kirk says, do you get tired of people bashing the winner of BB18? Taryn?
I guess so. It's expected, though. Like, I don't really get tired of it. Just like, yeah. I see it and I move on. Like,
yeah, I don't get tired of it. I just go to bed. Like,
yeah, because you got so tired of it. That's right. You go right to bed.
Well, my point is I don't have to deal with it. Like, you know, someone else's problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's Nicole's problem, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. That's a Nicole problem. Guess what? Nicole doesn't care. Nicole doesn't care what you think of her as a winner.
She's got 500,000 reasons why you're wrong.
Yeah.
And she's gonna have long talks with Andy and he's gonna teach her the ways.
Yeah. Yeah, is that right? Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Master Trollsmanship 101.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about from this? Let's see. Noah Vareb wants to know, how many house guests or even Julie Chen recognized you during your interviews? Were you upset that no pre-jury house guest got to speak? How drastically would the season have been if Corey was eliminated on the Hit the Road rather than Glenn? And most importantly, are you down with OTT? Because I am. I certainly am down with OTT. So in terms of who recognized me, absolutely no one, except for Big Meech. And not even at first. She was like, after like a minute, she's like, you're Rob. But I actually, when she first came out and then they brought her over to me, I said, okay, I'm sorry. And who were you again? I thought that would be make her really, really upset. She's like, I'm Michelle. I'm just kidding, Big Meech. I'm just messing with you. And then she wanted to know, and she was asking me, where's Jordan Parhar? Where's Jordan? I was like, oh, he has to host the show. Is the host of the show with everybody. But in terms of anybody else, no, nobody really knew. Well, Glenn, obviously, and Tiffany, I believe, but really nobody else. Actually, but then James said to me that he's watched the podcast before. So, but from Big Brother 17, he had seen them. So, all good.
There you go.
Nice.
Let's see. Anything else from that? In terms of, were you guys upset that we didn't get to spend as much time with the pre-jury during the episode? Was that a bummer for you guys, or was it just that they felt like they had nothing to ask them?
I feel for them. I mean, you know, shades of Survivor Karen Moen, right? Like, you don't feel good for people who go there and get all dressed up and sit on stage just to be, you know, asked over. It'd be nice if they could at least throw them something. Like, so what was it like for you going back and watching all that? You know, just give them anything.
Yeah.
I mean, based on the format, with everything they have in the finale, which I've mentioned many times, I don't like the format. Honestly, I don't really care, what they have to say.
Never
I
cared.
Feel bad for them, but it's not going to be relevant to the finale that as formatted. I think that if they formatted it better, obviously they have great stuff to say, but they're just going to ask them pointless questions anyway. Like there's nothing of substance in the finale anyway. So it would have just been more filler, I think.
Yeah,
that's true. But I did realize this is the first year in three that they didn't have to make time for some kind of secret reveal at the end. Last year, Vanessa, the poker player. Woo! And the year before, it's Derek, the Leonardo DiCaprio from Departed or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is a good question. This is from Brittany Roberts, who wants to know, is there a player or multiple players that you think will be surprised by how America perceives them versus how they thought America would react to them? Your coverage has been very fun and great all year. Thanks for this extra fun summer. All right. What do you think, Taryn?
I think Paul seemed pretty surprised when you told him that, he had fans that were rooting for him. So I think he'll be surprised at just how popular he is. Obviously, I think Victor winning AFP was a big indicator, but, I think Paulie obviously is going to be, I imagine he already knows, just what the reaction is there. So,
yeah, I imagine Paul Sr. pulled him aside pretty quickly there.
Yeah. He was on top of it.
Gave him the 411.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. This is from, what else is good? Trying to see some of these are very inappropriate. You guys are asking questions that we can't even answer.
Oh, you podcast. Guys.
Yeah, you guys. You guys.
If you need your inappropriate questions asked, just DM them to me on Twitter or something.
Okay. All right. Let's see if Scott's got a question from Angus. Does it say something about the game that non-entertaining strategies more often than not win over entertaining strategies? What does it say about Big Brother that the person who goes on a roller coaster loses to the person who stays the course, albeit well?
Yeah, I think that it's because, players that face a lot of adversity have to make crazy moves. They have to be entertaining because that's the entertaining part of the show, the flips, the crazy blindsides, everything like that. And those are the people who are not necessarily the most likely to win because your objective is to face as little adversity as possible. And so, the people who face that little bit of adversity are more likely to win, in many cases. We do get players like Dan, like Will, who do get a ton of adversity thrown their way and still manage to overcome it. But those are kind of the rarities.
Yeah.
To me, it's a little bit like, why am I getting C's on papers that I write 30 minutes before they're due and getting A's on papers I spend 30 minutes on for 2 weeks each day? There's a fundamental way to approach this thing that makes it kind of stable and even keeled and allows you to maintain focus and mental stability and all this stuff. And that's the better approach.
Yeah. Let me ask this question for one of our listeners. Eric Collins writes in and he's wanted me to read this all season long. So let me just, for Eric, let me get this question in. He wants to know, when Big Brother began, it was a show about putting people in various backgrounds into an isolated setting and watching as they all tried to get along while they're also competing. Oh, has the show gone down the toilet since? Ever since casting started putting a bunch of white bread, 20 early somethings into a house, the show has become inherently unfair. Instead of fixing their casting, the show decided to keep their soft porn stars and attempt to make it more exciting by adding twists. When those didn't work to keep up the ratings, the show started adding gimmicked players to the mix, returning more house guests and relatives of former house guests, which even more makes the show more unfair than before. Worse yet, the show is edited to show the nastiness of their precious demographic out of the show, biasing America to vote for them to give them more power. Now all we see are a majority of privileged kids demean and ostracize the rest of the cast and call it gameplay. When Paulie, Derek, and Cody are all part of the majority casting, easily alienating others and then bragging about how great they are, it makes me sick. Think of this. Eddie McGee would now be labeled a floater because of his inability to win competitions. So do you think they'll ever fix the casting problem? Because if not, there's no reason for me to sit through commercials or pay for live feeds just to watch things that are all around me. Unfairness, cruelty, and discrimination. Thank you for the time to read this. I told Eric we'd get to his question this season. Yes.
Yeah.
Alex is nodding.
It's a doozy.
It's a doozy. I think Eric's being too hard.
I think that, you know, almost everything he's saying is correct, but I mean, that's just been the way that it's been for a long time with Big Brother. And
Darren, have there been that many soft porn stars?
You know, more than you'd expect.
More than one by a couple.
Yeah.
But
I think there's probably been as many as you would expect.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I think
there's
that,
still time yet.
I think that it's still fundamentally a good show and a good game. And, you know, they can do their best to, you know, make it exciting with twists and cast very similar archetypes and stuff. But ultimately, the game is just so good that it's never going to disappoint in a major way, I don't think.
Yeah. And I go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, I get the frustration. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're a fan of the old school game, you know, you're a purist at heart, then the idea that we haven't had a quote unquote pure Big Brother season since really 10 is more than mildly frustrating at this point. And I think a lot of people are hoping maybe OTT would be a deviation in the other direction with less involvement. And it turns out it's going to be more. So I get the frustration, but I do, you know, we always talk about this isn't a true game show. You know, CBS doesn't have to adhere to those laws of fairness that, you know, got like the $64,000 question in trouble or whatever it is. So because of that, it's just there's never going to be a need for them to make sure that the playing field, like they don't have to go above and beyond to make sure that everyone starts at yard one when the game kicks off.
Yeah. And I would just say that, I mean, if the show isn't making you happy, then you don't have to watch it. Look, it's not perfect, but it's okay. It's fine. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun. And if it's not fun, then you know, take a season off from it. It's okay. It's okay.
It's not perfect, but it's ours.
It's not perfect.
Yeah, and if it's not fun, that's what we're here for, right? Like we get to like laugh at it and have fun with it, right?
Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be fine, Eric. Eric really, really wanted us to get into that this season. Boy. If Eddie McGee gets labeled a floater, though, that's where I'm going to draw the line.
That's where it jumps the shark for sure.
Yes. Okay. Brian wants to know, does the argument that Derek only won because he was against bad players lose value now that Nicole has won? Yeah, Taryn, do we have to look at this differently where Derek also beat out a future winner twice?
Well, I actually saw Derek tweet something about this.
Oh, boy.
He did. Which immediately in my head, I was just like, this is really funny because it just like adds value to the conspiracy that like he coached her up so that he'd win, so that she'd win so that he could make this case.
Oh, wow. The greatest trick.
Right.
Pretty good.
But I mean, I was always somebody that gave Nicole a decent amount of credit in Big Brother 16 because she was the one that was on to Derek and he flipped on her and took her out. And so I don't think it really changes much.
Okay.
I do. It does remind me of the San Juan del Sur thing, though, that, you know, Jeremy Collins comes back, plays Survivor and wins Cambodia. And then people are looking at a season that they had been discounting where, you know, a bunch of people from that season come back and do well. Like, oh, maybe that was good after all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, look, Keith Nail made it to the final five again.
He sure did.
Take it to the house. Okay. Roy wants to know, do you guys remember when Paulie was running the game and looked like the front runner? Remember when we answered the question on the show, is Paulie a top 10 Big Brother player of all time?
Taryn? Luckily, we said no.
Right. Who said yes? Somebody said yes on the panel.
Was it you, Rob?
Yeah, Twitter.
Brent's not here. Let's say it was him.
I believe that question was asked on the podcast. Is Paulie a top 10 player of all time? And it was really, you got Paulie or the field. We were talking about it sometime in July. And who you got? And it was the field. Okay.
Yeah, your interview with him too was great. Where he's just like, Paulie, man, there was that one week there.
Yeah.
Boy.
I thought you had it.
What a week.
I thought you had it. It was like, I had two people that went behind my back. And it's like, well, which two? Which two was that? He's like, no, Victor was not ever against me, that he got told what to do. I was like, I don't think that was the case. Dan wants to say, do you think that the jury may change their opinion of Paul and his game after watching the aired episodes of BB18? Taryn, do you feel like that the people are going to watch these episodes and feel differently?
I don't think so. I think that Corey, Paulie, and Zakir are all going to feel pretty similar regardless. And I think Devon got the correct assessment. So she'll probably see, you know, things that essentially confirm what she thought. And Natalie will see Paul being mean to her. So I think in general, they'll all keep the same opinion.
Alex, how many of these people in the cast do you think are going to go and watch these episodes now?
Like right away or?
Sure, next couple period. Of weeks. Next couple of weeks.
I'd say roughly half.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'd say, yeah, some people are going to want to go for it because it seems like it's going to be a good time. And then there's probably a good amount of people who will do anything to actively avoid watching it at this point.
I'd say we make a pact that we never watch these episodes. Andrew Kirk says, would you guys like to see Victor 2.0? I mean, really be Victor like 4.0 on a future BB season or even be put on a Survivor season. I could see him doing very well. Boy, now Victor going on Survivor. Boy, Taryn, that could be something.
Could be something. I think he'd do better on Survivor than Big Brother for sure. You know, get him on American Ninja Warrior, right? Like, I feel like that's another good spot for him, right? Like, just something where he can do well in competition.
I mean, are we overstating how good he is in these athletics, in these competitions? I mean, I don't think that he's not like a professional athlete or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not going to nail the strategy anytime, but, you know, Jose Anglim, I could see it.
we're definitely overselling it. I mean, like, most Big Brother competitions have a large element of luck, and I think he's good at the non-luck aspects, but, winning a bunch of Big Brother competitions does not make you an ninja warrior, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. This is from PL Mercier. What's the scoop on Ian and Big Meech? Are they already dating? I don't know if there's been, there's definitely some canoodling going on, Alex.
Yeah,
I can only at this time confirm they're Snapchatting. Beyond that,
they did meet up.
I'm not going to put labels on someone else's relationship. Yeah, that's not for me to do.
Yeah, okay, we'll see. More on this story as it develops.
I'll just say, you know, Godspeed to you, Ian. Good on you.
Good work. Okay. This is from Pierre-Luc Savoy. Do you think 99 Days season promote the sleep for the first month type of gameplay? Alex, do you feel like if the season was shorter, if it was more of a sprint, we would have a more exciting gameplay?
Probably. I mean, because you look at the last few weeks and it's just such a slog. I mean, that's when they have to give them, you know, Jenga and cards and all kinds of stuff just to keep them from going crazy, let alone those of us that are paying to watch this. So, yeah. I think there is a point where, you know, you try to find that bell curve. And I think maybe we're a little over the hump at this point. Right. Maybe that's me. I think the
length is a big aspect of it. But I also think that the twists are a huge aspect of it. The more uncertainty you add to the game with so many twists, the more careful and the more conservative the players have to play, because there's so much that can happen. You have to play a safer game, a more conservative game, because anything could happen with all the twists.
All right. Let's do one or two more questions. Gregory McBean wants to know, do you think that I should still listen to the BB OTT coverage, even though I'm not watching OTT?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone who listened to the recaps will understand just how great our BB OTT coverage will be if it's bad, right?
Yeah, if it's bad. I mean, I think that the curiosity is the biggest thing for me. What is it going to be? How is it going to be? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be terrible? I think it's that for me, the uncertainty is the exciting part of it, more so than what the game is ultimately going to be.
Yeah, good point. I mean, it's the first foray, the first attempt into some alternate Big Brother. I mean, best case scenario, maybe it's awesome and we get more of it. Worst case, it's still a glorious train wreck, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the first Big Brother season was bad. And if people don't like it, and they say, but a lot of people subscribe to it, they'll change up the format. So I think it's going to be an interesting experiment. All right, last question. Synaphic wants to say, why wasn't Paul more vocal about his role in Paulie's eviction? Feels like that could have resonated with Devon and helped him overall. I don't think he necessarily knew to what degree Devon and Paulie had not been getting along. It's not like that they get tapes in the regular house of what's going on in the jury house. I don't think he necessarily would have known. And I think that maybe he thought he had a chance to get Paulie's vote as well.
Yeah, it's something that I pointed out in the previous podcast was that Nicole was very good at being able to pinpoint exactly what she did, like her best move, which was flipping Natalie. And she was able to recognize that and convey it to the jury. Paul unfortunately didn't really have that ability. And it's a hard one to make because it's hard to know what you did that worked, right? Like, cause you do a lot of things and you don't know what it was that made you successful necessarily. And Nicole had that where Paul didn't quite.
Okay. Let me ask one other question from the email that came in from Taryn's co-host on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, News AF intern Lita.
Amazing Lita.
Asked in, was it Amazing Lita?
Yeah, various adjectives I throw upon her in the Ninja Warrior podcast.
Okay. She wrote in to say, Rob, because of your fabulous preseason podcast with Jordan and the charm of the LFC, many people like myself tuned into Big Brother for the first time this season. Now that it's over, do you feel like that this season was a good representation of Big Brothers to newbies? If not, what do you want to tell people about the show that didn't come through on BB18 to get them to watch again next season or even the BBOTT? So, all right, what should a newbie take away from this? What was unique about this season, Taryn, that maybe another season would not necessarily have?
I'd say, I guess some of the nastiness with Pauly, that's somewhat unique at this point. You know, this one in 15 maybe were two of the biggest examples of that. But for the most part, that doesn't often happen. But other than that, I feel like it was fairly representative. I guess there were more twists this season than there usually are.
Mm-hmm. Alex, that's what I was going to touch on is twists, especially starting the game in this team twist. You know, yeah. I think that is a bit more of like Survivor tribe-esque, like almost Cook Islands type of situation.
Well, we've had clicks before.
We did the clicks once, but I think, you know, you and Jordan did that, you know, intro to Big Brother for Survivor fans at the beginning of the summer. And one thing you talked about was what makes Big Brother so cool is it's like the game starts where Survivor is at merge time, where everyone's playing for themselves. Everyone's thinking about how does this benefit me and only me? So it's a giant prisoner's dilemma. And we were robbed of that this season because of the team's twist. So I think, you know, we'll have twists pretty much every season, right? But it's not always going to be something that divides people and forces them to work with other individuals. So to me, that's a big takeaway is that a lot of Big Brother seasons will end up differently because people will start as free agents and continue that way.
Okay. All right. Well, very exciting. We are on the precipice of the BBOTT, the first ever BBOTT. Hopefully we will be having a cast dropped, and when we do so, we will have a BBOTT preview podcast for you. And as always, you can continue to vote for Jose versus Jason. The battle continues. Where do you have to go? Is that you have to go on CBS All Access to do it?
Yes, I believe that's okay. Right.
I'm going to cast my vote. I won't say it's a secret ballot, but I have to cast my vote as to who... I have not been asked to make an official endorsement at this time, so I have not endorsed either candidate, but looking forward to seeing how that's going to play out ultimately. What do you think? We'll have them both there on the first episode of the BBOTT, Taryn?
Yeah, probably, right? Like, they'll want to play that up.
Yeah, okay. Well, that'll be
really jace somebody good.
Yeah, that'll be very exciting to see how it all plays out. And I do think that we're going to see an interesting cast, and I think that there's going to be a lot of super fans that are in the cast, no matter which of the Jose or Jason ends up getting in the cast, because I think that for the people, these model actors, I don't think that necessarily the idea of going on this web series is going to be particularly compelling, Alex.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good point. I'm very, very interested to see how this cast shakes out.
I think it could be a really interesting cast, and no matter how the game plays out.
Yeah, and I know it's a different casting. Like, Robin Cass did not cast this show. So, if nothing else, we know it's a different group of people that chose these people. So, yeah, I'm very curious.
All right. So,
break that mold.
Break the mold. Okay. It's all happening. All right. I did earlier today, I did a voicemail from Survivor with Kurt Clark. Looking forward to getting that up. And, of course, you could hear my recap of this week's Survivor episode with the winner of Survivor Koh Rong, Millennial Meech, not Meech, Meech. She was very fun on the podcast as well. Plus, all of the, if you didn't catch any of the Big Brother exit interviews or hadn't had a chance to watch them, they are up on our YouTube channel over the weekend. We are going to be getting back into the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler. Plus, we'll talk about why the first Survivor player lost. That will be with David Bloomberg. And then, of course, getting ready for Wednesday night in the premiere of the BBOTT, where I will be having Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback, and Jordan Parhar will be live with the LFC to recap the premiere of the BBOTT this Wednesday night. Can you guys believe it?
it's un, you know, people have been like, oh yeah, you know, have a happy week off.
Yeah.
I think we've done more podcasts this week.
Yeah. So are you guys burning out? Tell me the truth. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm good. But you know, you asked, can I believe it? And my answer would be no. Unbelievable. No. Harry Potter.
No,
Harry
unbelievable. Potter,
I thrive in podcast land. It's been amazing this season being able to podcast and with all the seriously awesome listeners. So I really love this and I nowhere close to burnout.
Yeah.
And my friends are just glad that I'm no longer talking at them with this reality TV stuff anymore. So,
well, I had so much fun. I mean, I think that we ended up, I don't know how many episodes we did. I think last season, I think we did like 40 recaps and I think I didn't miss any. This summer, I know I missed at least two of them when we went to Chicago for RehabCon that week where I was at the podcast movement. So I don't know if necessarily we hit, I personally didn't do a recap after every single episode, but we did a lot of Friday shows too along the way. So easily we got to, 40, 50 some odd Big Brother podcasts over these last couple of months. So thank you guys who watched so many of them. It makes it so much fun to come on here and talk about all of this stuff with you guys, especially the people that are joining us here live in the chat room, but even the people that watch after the fact and we hear from on Twitter. It makes it so much fun to get to talk about. And especially this season was such a thrill to culminate in going to the house and doing the interviews all in the backyard, which was really one of the highlights of my podcasting career for sure. So thank you guys all so much for watching all this nonsense all the way through. Do we have a hashtag for the finale of BB18?
We're all hashtagged out. We have no hashtags.
And that's it. Hashtagged out. That's it. All right. So thanks. Thanks so much. Of course, thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre, who edited so many of these shows and pulled your questions through all of these night in and night out. So thank you so much, Scott. And of course, thanks so much to Brent and Jordan and everybody else involved with BB18. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.